This is LabCast, ideas and insights for the expansion stage senior manager, hosted by OpenView Labs.
Welcome to the OpenView Venture Partners LabCast. My name is Arshima Marzadin. Today we're joined by our friend Kevin Spain, who's a general partner in Emergence Capital based in San Mateo. Kevin's one of the bigger proponents of native mobile business apps and the notion of enterprise mobility, which also happens to be one of my personal favorite topics. First off, Kevin, thanks for joining us today.
Absolutely. It's great to be here, Arshima.
Absolutely. So mobile business apps is a really exciting and active area as of late. We have companies like Acompli, which Microsoft recently acquired, to Expensify, to Base CRM, to FieldLens, and to Handshake, which you guys are an investor in. To start, I want to get your take on what's going on with mobile business apps and why SaaS companies are starting to put so much attention towards building fully functional native apps, even often as their first product.
Sure. Well, I think, you know, I would start off by saying, when we got started at Emergence 10 years ago, we really believed that the cloud, and we didn't really call it the cloud back then, but what we now call the cloud was going to be the next big technology platform in business. And we bet our entire strategy on the idea that the cloud was going to be so transformational that you could build a great portfolio of companies solely on that that emerging trend. And we're now feeling like we are on the verge of the next big trend, the next big platform, technology platform in business, and that is mobile. And in many ways, we think that the impact that mobile will have on the business world has the potential to be greater, frankly, than even the cloud has been to date. And I think there are sort of a couple of reasons for this. First, as you mentioned, you're seeing a lot of opportunity in mobilizing or adding mobile adjuncts to existing cloud products. After all, what you're seeing in business is that increasingly users are expecting that if they, for example, are using a CRM product on the web, they want to be able to access that product or portions of that product on their mobile device as well. And so we're seeing a lot of activity on that front, which is sort of companies that have a great cloud offering starting to think about or building great mobile adjuncts or mobile versions of their offering, because that's what their customers expect. But in many ways, what I think is more exciting about the opportunity that mobile opens up, it's sort of entirely new categories of applications. What can we now do in terms of apps that we couldn't do before mobile became so pervasive in business? And there's a really interesting stat that I like to share that I think really reinforces the opportunity here. That stat is, there are 3 billion people globally who work, who have jobs, and only about 20% of them actually sit at their desks to do their jobs. The other 80% are mobile in some way. They're in industries like construction or retail or healthcare or manufacturing, where they're not typically sitting at a desk to do work and they don't have a laptop or a desktop computer. For the first time, that 80% of the global workforce now has a piece of technology with them at all times in the form of a smartphone or a tablet where business applications can be deployed. And so this is the other big category, and in many ways the bigger category of opportunity that we see in the mobile world in business, and that is building mobile applications to address the 80% of the global workforce that has never had great technology to do their jobs.
Yeah, and that statistic is certainly astounding, but what about the 20% that isn't as mobile and is still behind the computers for most of the day? Will these types of workers eventually move over to mobile as a replacement to their computers in the workplace?
Well, I would say it depends, right? There are certain applications where you could imagine mobile sort of taking over or mobile presenting an opportunity for an entrepreneur to disrupt an existing web-based player. But I would say in many cases, what we're finding is that, desk workers need a bit of a blend, right, between mobile and web when it comes to an application. A great example of this, frankly, is Slack, right? We had Stuart Butterfield at a mobile event that we held recently, and he was actually talking about this phenomenon. He said, look, most of Slack's users today are desk-bound workers, right? And they have an expectation around a great web-based or desktop-based experience for Slack. After all, you don't necessarily want to context switch between, let's say, your browser where you're doing some work and your mobile device just to use a different application, right? Having it all in one pane of glass when you're sitting there at your desk is really valuable. But he also said, you know, look, there's an amazing need when you're away from your desk to still be able to access Slack. And so having that great mobile adjunct to Slack is a key enabler for them and a key add-on for them. So I think you're going to see some applications where, you know, mobile first or mobile only makes a lot of sense for desk workers. But I think you're also going to see many, many cases where a great desktop experience and a great mobile experience are critical for success.
That's spot on. And through the companies we've seen recently and analyzed in our report, the most successful ones in terms of growth and revenue figures today are actually the ones that are optimizing for both mobile and web, which of course isn't cheap. And then going back to the 80% of mobile workers that aren't sitting behind desks, whether it's in construction, healthcare, retail, or even real estate, what verticals do you think are particularly ripe and ready for a transition where they start using smartphones for the critical aspects of their job?
Sure. Well, you know, interestingly, what we believe is that the biggest opportunities when it comes to mobile-first business applications for that 80% of the workforce that doesn't sit at desks, it's actually in those industries that historically have been the most underpenetrated in terms of technology. And so the way that we often think about this is technology spend as a percentage of revenue. So if you look at an industry, how much do they spend on technology as a percentage of total industry revenue? You know, industries like construction, industries like manufacturing, these are industries that a lot of folks would consider to be old line, fairly static, right, in terms of how they think about the use of technology. And in many cases, I think investors are right about this. But the flip side is when we look at where mobile is starting to make a really interesting impact, it's actually in some of these old line industries first. And so a great example of this would be in construction. There's a company called PlanGrid. And I know you guys are also investors in FieldLens. These are companies that actually service those workers in the field working on multi-million dollar construction projects, enabling them to communicate and collaborate more effectively with drawings and so forth. That was something you just couldn't do, right? Before you had ubiquitous connectivity, and before you had tablets and smartphones in the hands of so many workers out in the field, out on construction job sites. And both of those companies, as you know, are doing extremely well. In the case of manufacturing, there's a really interesting company actually based up in Montreal called Poca.
Sure.
And Poca is actually bringing mobile technology into the factory, right? And giving factory floor workers the ability to collaborate and communicate, let's say, when there's a problem with a machine on the shop floor. And, you know, before every worker walked into the factory with a smartphone in their pocket, providing a collaboration mechanism like that just wasn't possible. So I actually think it's going to be in many of these old line industries that historically have been laggards when it comes to technology, where you're going to see mobile be the sharp point of the arrow that actually gets them up the curve in many ways for the first time when it comes to using technology more broadly.
And in these old line industries, will it be challenging to market and distribute these products to both the users who might have a need for these applications, but probably not a say in the buying process, and then also the managers who likely haven't had much experience in the past signing their companies up for mobile products?
Well, I mean, I think at the end of the day, if a company says to its workers, look, this is the application we're using, right, to do our jobs here, go to the App Store, download it, log in, I think you're going to find that most employees are going to get on board with that, right? And look, there's a long history of that even in the desktop world, right? When you're told to use a certain application, that's sort of what you do.
Yeah.
I think, you know, when it comes to actually getting companies to pay for these applications, interestingly, you know, we've seen that there have not been many issues if you are delivering something to a company that actually delivers real value, right? And so so I think, you know, some people are scared. I think some investors have historically been scared about investing in these areas where technology has not had a big budget. But what we're finding is that many of the use cases and many of the products, the mobile products that are being brought into these industries are so compelling that businesses are willing to actually pay for these apps. And so I think that's been a bit of a surprise to folks, but it just speaks to the idea that, you know, really for the first time, you have the ability to change the game with technology in many of these industries.
Okay, so if companies are willing to purchase these more efficient applications and users will readily come on board, what then are the difficulties associated with building and selling these newer technologies? Basically, what's harder about building a successful mobile-focused company versus a successful web-focused company?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the first thing I would say is that you have to start with a great product, right? And I think that's always true. Certainly in the web world, it's been proven to be true. But a great product in mobile, requires that much more effort and that much more thought. And the fundamental reason for this is that you just have less real estate to work with, right? So there is an incredible premium that you have to place on focus and simplicity when it comes to a mobile business application that I think, you know, is important in the web world and in the desktop world, but maybe not quite as important. And what we see is that the best mobile business application companies, the ones that have the greatest adoption, the ones that have the highest level of user satisfaction, they obsess over this idea of focus and simplicity when it comes to their app. And so I think that's something that is a little bit different than the desktop world. The other thing that I would say that is frankly not different yet, but has the potential to be different, is how these applications get in the hands of users. So mostly what we're finding in terms of distribution today is that mobile-first business app companies are still using classic SaaS go-to-market strategies, right? They're using inside sales, they're using online marketing, all the tools that the likes of Salesforce and Box and others have used for many years. I think, though, there's a potential for that to change, and there's a potential for the app stores to become greater sources of customers for mobile business application developers. That has not been true to date, I think in part because in the case of most business users, they're not going to the app store first to look for a solution to their business problem. They're still starting with Google, right? And so the search for an offering that solves a business problem is still mostly starting on the desktop. Yeah. But I think as time goes on and we see more great examples of mobile business applications emerge, users are going to become accustomed to going to the App Store and going to Google Play. Then you're going to find a whole new set of strategies that mobile business app companies will have to use to acquire customers.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they come up with. And then you saw in our recent mobile SaaS metrics report that we made a distinction between the four mobile product strategies. The first being companies with a primary web focus yet still offering a native app. The second being those that have an equal focus between mobile and web. The third being those with a primary mobile focus. And then the last group being companies that exclusively offer their product as a mobile application. How does a company decide which strategy is right for them, and what are the different considerations they need to make?
Well, what I would say is you have to think about your end user, right? What is the problem that you are helping to solve for your end user? And that often is sort of the key guide, right, for you in terms of how you think about whether you should be mobile only, mobile first, maybe a blend between mobile and web. If you're working with or thinking about targeting a user that is almost exclusively on their feet all the time or out in the field all the time, a mobile-first or a mobile-only strategy is probably the way to go. And so that's what we typically advise companies to think about. It's sort of, you know, what do your users want to do? Where are they living during their workday? And so does mobile or web make the most sense? I think, as I was saying earlier, if you're targeting a desktop user and your customer is mostly sitting in front of their laptop all day, you need to have something that's a blend of both. And in fact, I think the days of being web only are very quickly moving behind us. I think even if your desktop user is in front of their computer most of the day, the expectation they have is that there is going to be a great mobile adjunct or add-on to that product. So, you know, during that time when they're not at their desk, they can still keep tabs on what's happening. So I don't see a case where web only is going to work for much longer. But I think you have to think about, you know, who your user is, where they're living most of the time, what problem you're solving for them to decide whether you're web first or you're mobile first.
Sure, and we're definitely seeing a number of traditionally web-only companies start to build out their mobile apps. But there's, of course, a difference between having a mobile presence and then having a functional, enjoyable, and useful mobile application. And then we have all these different companies that are spending less than 6 months and very little money on app development just so they can put something out in the market. But what's the value in quickly releasing a mostly ineffective app and then iterating on it versus other companies that are spending 12 plus months and a significant amount, if not most of their money, on building a great product?
Well, I am a big believer in the idea that product and user experience matters tremendously in the business world. And there are an increasing number of examples of this being true, whether you're talking about mobile or you're talking about web-based offerings. And so my opinion is that you never want to take a shortcut, right? The cost of putting a bad product in front of a customer in terms of how they perceive you, the impact it makes on how they see you and the value you can add to them is so high that you need to get products in users' hands that are exceptional. If it takes you a little longer to do that, I think that's a smart move. The product doesn't need to be perfect, right? So that's not what I'm saying. But I do think that you need to ensure that there's a simple, functional, fast product that you're putting in users' hands when it comes to mobile.
How would you rate those in terms of what to focus on first?
Well, I think simple and functional, right? I mean, again, you know, real estate is such a premium on a mobile device. You have to focus on delivering value quickly to a user when they get into the app. It needs to actually work. It needs to actually it needs to be functional, right? But it needs to be incredibly simple and to the point. We've all seen mobile applications that are just too complicated, right? You can't actually figure out how to use them and get value out of them. And most business users don't have the patience for that. So I think that's where you have to begin. And again, this is very hard work. The best mobile-first business app companies we see, they agonize, right, over simplicity and what functionality they're actually going to put in that application. So I think that's where you always have to begin. But, you know, the unfortunate thing is whether you're talking about a mobile app or you're talking about a web-based app, you may not get a second chance to make a great impression, right, on a user. So Optimizing for that great first experience, I think, is critical.
Yeah, I'm in total agreement there. And then in the same light, we actually found that it's more expensive to develop mobile apps than it is web products. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think there are a couple reasons. First of all, you're dealing with more platforms, right, than you are on the web. And so, you know, just by default, instead of having one platform, you have two, or in some cases three, you're going to need to spend more resource and more time getting those products built out. The second thing I would say is that, you know, just like in the early days of the web, there's a bit of a shortage, right, of mobile developers. I mean, this was true back, you know, when the internet was taking off. There weren't a lot of people that knew HTML. And so those developers actually were able to command incredibly high prices for their time and services. And so I think that problem is going to become somewhat alleviated over time as more and more people gain experience building great native mobile applications. But the thing that I don't see changing anytime soon is the need to develop for and be on multiple platforms. And so I think it will always be more expensive from an engineering point of view to have a mobile strategy versus a web strategy.
Yeah, and that reminds me of a conversation I had with Adam Marchik of Kahuna, who I know you know. And he mentioned a good point that businesses have in-house web talent that they've been building up over the last 10 or so years, but are just starting to think about mobile talent. And then as a result, have to outsource and hire expensive consultants to ramp up, which of course becomes just way pricier.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, if you don't have the talent internally, you have to find it somewhere. And again, it's very analogous to the early days of the web when the external web development firms were making a killing, right? Because mm-hmm. there was such a shortage of talent when it came to web development. So we're seeing the same thing happen again in mobile.
Yeah, definitely. And so do companies that go mobile first or mobile only need to think differently about monetization?
Well, I think in some cases, yes, and in some cases, no. What we are seeing today in the mobile business app world is that most companies are actually pursuing a strategy around monetization that is very similar to web-based applications. It's sort of a per-user, per-month recurring revenue subscription. And typically, those companies are not billing for users through the App Store or through Google Play, in most cases because it's really hard to do that well. I think that will change as time goes on. But the reality is, if you want to bill a company for X number of users and you want to help them manage those users and dial their subscription up and down, as they see fit, as they maybe add or remove employees. Doing that the old-fashioned way, which is not through the App Store or not through Google Play, is today at least the best way to go. And so, so in many ways, we're seeing most mobile-first business app companies use that traditional SaaS monetization model. So it sort of happens out of band, not on the App Store, not in Google Play. Now, that said, there are some exceptions that we're starting to see, too. I would say particularly when it comes to applications or business apps that are targeting small and mid-sized companies. You know, a great example of this would be Invoice2Go, right, which delivers a great mobile app for small businesses to help them manage, as the name implies, invoices and interactions with their customers. The way that Invoice2Go primarily monetizes its customers is through in-app purchases, right? Annual subscriptions that they actually deliver via an in-app purchase. And they're doing really well with that strategy. So, you know, that's a case where you don't need to manage a complicated subscription environment. You don't typically have lots of employees on the application. It's usually one user. And so doing that through the App Store actually is something that you can make work. So I think we're going to continue to see a blend for a while. And the day may come when Apple and Google and maybe even Microsoft provide the ability for mobile business app companies to actually bill in a more sophisticated way through those platforms. But we're not quite there yet.
Yeah. We'll see how that pans out. And then, Kevin, one last thing I wanted to touch on is the idea that new metrics should be used in evaluating mobile SaaS companies. One, from an entrepreneur's perspective, okay, we're setting goals and we're measuring ourselves against our peers. And then also from an investor's perspective, do you think there is a need for new metrics to consider other than the traditional SaaS metrics that have been ongoing and used for several years now? And is there anything that you're currently using?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. I mean, I think in many ways we're looking at a lot of the same metrics. I mean, certainly on the MRR side of the house, in terms of how the business is growing revenue, we look at a lot of the same things. You know, we care about, you know, net new MRR. We care about churn rates. We care about upsell rates. A lot of the classic SaaS metrics definitely apply there. I think, frankly, though, where we have a bit of a higher bar is around engagement. So I think, you know, engagement when it comes to web-based business applications has started to become a bigger and bigger thing. You know, you started to see companies like Gainsight and others begin to give web-based business application companies more and more insight into how users are actually using their products, because there's a recognition that if users aren't actually in the product regularly, that they have a greater likelihood of churning. And I think in mobile, the same is true. But frankly, we feel that there's a higher bar, there should be a higher bar around engagement with a mobile product. And that's simply because the device is with the user all the time, right? And we know that the most compelling mobile products in the consumer world have very high engagement rates. And so if you don't have a lot of mind share with your customer on mobile, in the same way that you have a lot of mind share or the consumer companies have a lot of mind share in mobile, we think that you're going to fall behind. So this sort of comes back to needing to have a compelling, easy-to-use, value-added product. If you don't do that in such a way that you drive really high engagement on mobile, we think that you're leaving a lot of opportunity on the table. And a competitor is likely to show up that figures out how to do that. So we measure a lot of the same things around engagement in terms of, you know, daily usage and monthly usage on a per account basis. But we think that, you know, what you need to deliver there in terms of degree of engagement probably needs to be higher on mobile than it is on web.
Yeah. And is that something that management teams have acknowledged?
I think it depends. I think in some cases, yes. And in other cases, they're not necessarily quite there yet. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that, you know, engagement metrics are starting to be better understood and engagement benchmarks are starting to become better understood in the desktop world. But those same benchmarks aren't quite there yet when it comes to mobile business apps. And I think it's simply because, you know, there just aren't as many companies out there in the mobile business app world yet. So we don't know what excellence really looks like. I think over time, we're going to figure out where those benchmarks are, and you'll have more and more management teams making the compare between those benchmarks and where they are, and that is then likely to drive more action. But at least as of today, I would say the world is sort of split. You definitely have companies that are focused on it, and you have companies that probably are spending less time thinking about it.
Yeah, yeah. And then hopefully our recent report will help build some momentum around the need for using focus metrics.
Absolutely.
Great. Thank you so much for joining us today, Kevin. We really enjoyed having you.
Absolutely, Arshan. Thanks for having me.
And for everyone else joining us today, if you're interested in diving a little deeper on this topic, feel free to check out our latest report on the 2015 State of Business to Business Mobile Growth Metrics.